Is it Monday?
This thing on?
Hello. Hello.
We get so conversational in here.
I know.
That sometimes we forget to turn on the microphone. We just had a great conversation with Dr. Dean.
That's right. Officially.
Nobody heard it.
Unfortunately. You all didn't know that.
Exactly.
Or maybe fortunately.
Yeah, that's usually the case. AM 910 WJCW, Johnson City, Kingsport, Bristol. Carl Ehrlich with you here with Dr. Dean Baird. And Dr. Dean Baird said it's time once again to turn to the subject of heart disease. Is that a common thing in pets?
Yeah, it's really common.
Wow. Wow.
Every animal has heart.
Sure.
Most people do.
Try to.
So heart disease is it's a real common problem, and all the heart diseases aren't the same. It depends on whether you're talking about a dog or a cat or a person.
Mm.
What's interesting about it to some degree is that when animals get heart failure, then it gets to be a whole lot more similar. And that's actually even true of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then I'm going to try to keep this kind of simple. Maybe then, Alec, they'll hear us and stay with us both.
Yeah.
What's the difference between heart disease and heart failure? Well, heart disease means there's a condition that's causing the heart not to function properly. Now, mm-hmm. there are more than one, just like there are in people. But heart failure, as I guess we should actually technically say, I'm hitting the trash can there. I don't get any extra points for that.
No. Okay.
Congestive heart failure. That word congestive is really important because it's used to describe the fact that there's fluid accumulation somewhere in the body. We got to review a little bit about the heart. Still, I think we can keep it simple. There's four chambers in the heart, two on the right, two on the left. The blood comes into the heart from the body and gets moved through the right atrium, the right ventricle, and into a vessel called the pulmonary artery because it takes blood to the lung,
mm-hmm.
which is what pulmonary means.
Right.
So it doesn't have to go very far. Goes to the lung, gets oxygen, and comes back to the left side of the heart and goes through the left atrium and the left ventricle and out to the aorta to the body.
Right.
And just keeps making a circle. So you've basically got this is very basic here. You got the right side of the heart that's pumping blood to the lung, and you've got the left side of the heart that's pumping blood to the body. So the left side's bigger because it has to pump it farther.
Mm-hmm.
The muscle, the chambers are bigger, the muscles are bigger because it takes more force. So in a very simplistic but accurate description of this, if the right side of the heart is unable to move blood forward into the lung, or I guess I should say, if it's not moving the entire volume of blood, it's always able. I mean, if it's not moving blood forward, you're dead, obviously,
yes.
Right? So it's not that it's not moving it, but
right.
It's not moving as much as it should be moving. Then what happens is the blood, so to speak, backs up and goes, some of it goes the other way,
mm-hmm.
goes backward.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts pressure on where it's coming from. Well, it's coming from the body, so blood that's coming away from the body and to back to the heart, what are those called? I'm going to give you all anatomy. Oh, let's start with the basic. What do you call a vessel that pumps blood out to the body?
I'm going to say an artery.
Artery. So what do you call a vessel that brings blood back to the heart?
Capillary. That's the only other thing.
Ventricle.
You should have stopped while you was
ahead. I'm out.
A vein.
Yeah.
Veins.
Arteries take blood out. Veins bring blood back.
That's right.
Capillary is really, really small
vessels
that just ooze when you cut.
I couldn't think of it.
So when the blood comes back, the big veins are called vena cava, meaning
big cave.
Anyway, I shouldn't have said
mammoth
meaning.
Cave.
Shouldn't said meaning if I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's what happens, and the blood backs up. If the heart can't keep the blood going forward to the lung the way it's supposed to, it backs up into the vena cava, and then you got too much pressure and too much volume in the vena cava, and eventually you'll get fluid in the abdomen because that's where the most of the blood in the body comes from. Now, the blood comes from everywhere. You got blood coming from the chest and from the legs and from the head.
Right.
But for it to get into the heart, it has to dump into the vena cava. That's the big vessel that comes into the right atrium. And if you get pressure backwards, that's where it goes to. And the term for fluid accumulation in the abdomen, if it's just fluid, meaning it's not pus or has something else in it, is ascites. You don't have to remember that. It just means that there's fluid accumulation in the abdomen. So congestive heart failure on the right side of the heart causes increased fluid in a space.
Mm-hmm.
And the space
in the
is in the abdomen.
Oh, and yeah, when it
that's
leaves.
That's where it's coming
from.
Right. So remember what I said is congestive heart failure means that you've got the heart unable to move as much blood it's supposed to, and it results in fluid accumulation somewhere. And that's where it results. The left side of the heart pumps blood to the aorta, and it's coming from the lung. Remember I said that you got blood going to the lung to get oxygen, then it comes right straight back to the heart to get pumped out. So if the left side of the heart's not doing what it's supposed to, now I don't mean that none of the blood's moving, but some of it's coming backwards. It goes back to the left atrium, then it goes from the left atrium back up the pulmonary vein up into the heart, and now you get fluid accumulation, not heart, came from the heart, into the lung. Now you get a fluid accumulation into the lung.
It's a series of pipes that we're really talking about.
It's a plumbing thing.
Yeah.
And what you're getting is it's backed up. Roto-Rooter won't fix this.
Yeah.
The fluid's going backwards, and if it goes backward from the left atrium, it goes into the lung, and now you've got fluid accumulation in the lung, and this is not good.
Right.
Because we've talked about the lung before. The lung is like a tree, or the respiratory thing is like a tree.
Right,
you know,
right,
you start
right.
with the trachea, where air goes into the lung, it goes to bronchii, then it goes to bronchioles, and they just get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
And the final level they get at are called alveoli, and they're just little microscopic sacs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the oxygen-air interface occurs, or the blood-oxygen interface occurs,
where
blood can get oxygen. So if the fluid backs up from the heart into the lung, it starts filling up the alveoli. And then...
Which means it's going to be harder to breathe, too.
That's called pulmonary edema.
Right.
Because you got fluid inside of the lung where it should not be, and it becomes hard to breathe. And as that process gets worse... The patient, whether it's a dog or a cat or a person, this happens in people too, has a really difficult time breathing. You can't pull fluid out of alveoli mechanically. It's not, you can stick a needle in there and do it. There are thousands of these little things.
Sure, yeah.
You can do it chemically. That's what diuretics are for. Like Lasix, furosemide, helps cause the body to pee this stuff out.
Right.
And get the fluid out of there. But that really depends on how much damage has been done to the heart, and by extension, how much damage is in the lung, whether you can remove a fluid to make a difference or not.
Right.
Because people and dogs and cats die from pulmonary edema from congestive heart failure. Now, why do all of a sudden we want to talk about that? Because we talked about this kind of not long ago. It is because this happens a lot, and people don't know that their dog or their cat even has heart disease. And in some cases, they can't know because it happens real quickly. And if they have the animal examined regularly, they may be able to know, because most of these conditions will be accompanied by a heart murmur where you're hearing abnormal blood movement in the heart when you listen to it. But sometimes that doesn't even happen. Sometimes it happens acutely. Everything is clicking along pretty good, and something blows in the heart, meaning like a tendon is torn, one of the little things that holds the valves together, or they just get acute congestive heart failure and nobody can see it coming. You can't tell that.
But I would think that makes it very difficult for you to be able to diagnose then, and specifically at the front end.
Well, the really bad cases aren't so difficult to diagnose because they got so much fluid in there
you
can figure it out. Now, hold on to that thought, because I want to say something about that before we go. The ones that do come on more slowly, meaning they develop heart disease and don't get congestive heart failure all at once, if you have a dog or cat examined regularly, your veterinarian can pick up on a murmur. Doesn't mean they're going to get heart failure, but you can get it figured out and do some more tests to see how bad the problem is. And that can help prevent heart failure. Now, tell them the difference, you said. In the really bad cases, it's not hard. In some of the really milder cases, meaning the dogs and cats that aren't in trouble but are having heart failure or having pulmonary edema, it actually sometimes can be hard if they're coughing, which is what they're usually doing, to tell whether the change in the lung is from heart disease or from respiratory disease. It's not always easy.
I can imagine.
It's a diagnostic challenge for us sometimes, not always. But there again, if you get your dog or cat checked regularly, then if there's a murmur, somebody can get you on to what you need to do. If they're coughing, they may be coughing just because of upper respiratory disease, which is most animals don't cough because of heart failure statistically, although the ones that have heart failure will. But if they're coughing, the idea is you want to get it checked to make sure it's not something like that.
Right. Usually more respiratory directed, right?
More commonly.
Yeah,
but we can x-ray and do other tests, ultrasound, to figure out if they got heart disease.
Right.
So I'm trying to go roundabout to get to the ounce of prevention idea on this from starting off with them, everything dying and backing up to where it's not as bad.
Right.
I don't know if that works or not. I guess we'll see.
Give it a try.
Sounds like what football coaches do when they try to understand what happened in Saturday's game, too. So,
yeah. Okay.
Just talking about
everybody else is talking about that this weekend.
No,
I'll
give
it a
rest. I was just talking about the retrospective, looking back in order to try to determine from the diagnostician's point of view. I was trying anyway. I don't know if I succeeded.
All right, questions.
So, how do you tell if you're not, you know, obviously not a vet that your kitty cat is?
They're going to call symptoms. Glad you said that. Abnormal breathing is the most common one. Dogs cough much more frequently with congestive heart failure than cats do. Don't be waiting for your cat to cough.
Yeah.
Most time, cats with heart failure get fluid accumulation, ironically, not only in the lung, but in the chest cavity, sometimes only in the chest cavity, and they're having trouble breathing.
Right.
Dogs also will be having trouble breathing, but they're usually coughing.
Because so they're not as cool as the cat. They're not as cool as the cat because the cat's like, I'm not coughing.
They're not as cool as the cat, but that's not, this is a medical reason they're not doing it.
Gotcha.
But the cats, I'm sure, think that's why.
It's like, I'm not coughing.
I'm not
going
to embarrass myself by coughing. I'm just going to sit here and be unable to breathe until I die.
Yeah. I'd rather die than cough, sir.
I've got to, this, of course, folks can't tell this in the audience. Dr. Dean has an absolutely good-looking, stunning sort of overcoat on this morning. It's not a full overcoat. It's just a morning jacket, yeah. And it is almost UT orange. It's a little closer to Texas orange,
Texas.
But that's okay.
Auburn orange.
Auburn. There you go, because you're a graduate of Auburn and UT. And it's by the Marmot Company. And I thought, and I was correct, that Marmot is a little herbivore. It's got, looks like a...
They look like groundhogs.
They do. They look like, exactly like whistle pigs.
In the mountains, you see them quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so anyway, it's glad to have the marmots and the doctors in the studio here this morning. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital joins us weekly around 8:15 for Pet Puri. His clinic, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. If you want to get in touch with the doctor or make an appointment, what number do they call, Doc?
282-3771.
Wonderful news. We'll talk to you next week.